Peace be with you. I am Bruce Wozniak. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and lots of other platforms. Thanks so much for joining me for this and hopefully many other episodes. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net. You can listen there, but there are also links there to hear the show on all kinds of podcast listening apps. And there are links on the website to Catholic Sports Radio on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can send comments through the website. Plus, there is also a Facebook group called CSR Listeners. There is a button for that, too, on CatholicSportsRadio.net. I say this every week, but I really do mean it. It's not just a formality. I want your emails. I want your social media engagement. I really want your feedback on the show so I can ensure that I'm serving the body of Christ in a way that's strengthening your faith life. So always feel welcome to share your thoughts with me about this ministry of mine. As for my ministry moment for this episode, as strange as it sounds to be saying this at this time of year, the reality is that the NHL and the NBA seasons are now finished. Now we wait for official word for when each of those leagues will start next season. So instead, we turn our attention away from those two leagues and focus on the baseball playoffs and the NFL regular season. We put basketball and hockey out of our mind. It's a trap that we have to make sure that we don't fall into when it comes to our faith. In other words, you do Mass on Sunday, but then do you forget about God and about being a practicing Catholic again until the next Sunday Mass comes up? We have to stay regular in constant dialogue with the Lord and not put him out of our mind like a sport whose season has ended. This not only should be common sense, but we're even called to it in the Bible in a very popular New Testament passage, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, which directs us to pray without ceasing. Just like an athlete has to stay in shape even when it is the off season, so too do we need to stay regular in maintaining our spiritual health. Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest fought in the Tokyo Dome in Japan in 1995 representing USA and continues to compete in mixed martial arts to this day. He is also a movie producer and among numerous other projects he has done was the executive producer of a TV documentary called Mother Marian, Portrait of a Saint. He is also the founder of Movie to Movement, which promotes the incomparable dignity and beauty of the human person through the power of film. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Jason Jones.
Aloha, Bruce. It's a privilege to be on your show and to talk with you and your audience.
Awesome. I'm looking forward to this, Jason. Thank you. Let's shake things up a little this week and dive right into the deep end instead of wading into the pool. Jason, my research turned up an article from 8 years ago in Crisis Magazine, which is, quote, a voice for the faithful Catholic laity, end quote, in which you were quoted as saying, I was an atheist in the pro-life movement for 13 years, and by the way, my personal morality at the time was that of an atheist. I was no saint, end quote. So does that mean that you were raised in an atheist household?
Yeah, and I do want to make it clear, I'm still no saint. I have not been canonized yet, and unexpected to happen. But I was raised with, my mother was raised with no religion. In fact, her father was an early adapter to Scientology. So that was the dominant religion in my sphere, although Scientology never intrigued me at all. My grandfather was always shoving it on me. And my mother had no faith. My father had a bad experience in the church. It was raised actually Catholic. His mother was Episcopalian. His father was Catholic. And I think after confirmation, my father never went to church again. Mm. My mother's side, they had me when they were in high school. They were married, I think, at 16 and divorced at 17. They didn't, I have no memory of them together.
Gotcha.
But my father's household, his dad was a quiet practicing Catholic that I didn't even know he was Catholic till his funeral.
Whoa.
There was no sort of aggressive anti-religion on my dad's side. On my mother's side, my grandfather especially was really aggressively anti-Christian. And there was a lot of sort of especially anti-Catholicism that I would hear from my mom and my grandfather. So I was raised with no religion as a child. I never darkened the door. I think I went to a church for a funeral and for a wedding, growing up, and that was it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, then I have to ask, so when and how did you come to the Catholic faith?
Well, it's funny. I'll tell you that my journey in the pro-life movement and my journey to my anti-Catholicism were launched the same day. So I became really rabidly anti-Catholic as a teenager. When I was 17, my high school girlfriend got pregnant. I dropped out of high school around my 17th birthday and joined the Army. Mm. And while I was in basic training, she was hiding the pregnancy till I got back. But her father found out, and he took her to get a forced third trimester abortion.
Oh my gosh.
Her father was a very prominent Catholic. And so that was just disgusting to me. So I would say that's where sort of everything that I would hear in my family about Catholics being hypocrites and saying one thing and doing another, it sort of was like, yeah. And so I really became a zealous anti-Catholic bigot is probably the clearest way to express what happened. But I also became, as an atheist, radically committed to ending abortion. So that commitment to end abortion, even though it was birthed at the same time with a virulent anti-Catholic bigotry, that journey to understand the nature and dignity of the human person that was revealed to me through the violence of the abortion, that journey led me to becoming Catholic.
Wow. 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 That's powerful. So with regards to my having mentioned in the intro about your representing USA and competing in the Tokyo Dome in Japan in 1995 in an MMA fight, going back to your childhood, though, you told me the other day that that was actually a dream of yours since third grade. So how did something like that come onto your radar at such a young age?
Yeah, it wasn't mixed martial arts. It was Japanese karate. It was a full contact type of karate called Kyokushinkai. And when I loved kung fu movies. Mm-hmm. And I think my love for sports and my love for kung fu movies were sort of intertwined with similar themes. You know, as a boy, I think I was lonely a lot. And I longed for companionship.
Wow.
I also longed for a mentor.
Wow.
And that's something you get from sports, right? You get companions, you get cohorts. You also get coaches who are mentors.
Yeah.
And in kung fu movies, you always have this powerless, weak boy or young man, like think of Karate Kid even, and he is lonely. Then he gets a mentor, a coach, or Sifu, or he finds his master, and he becomes strong. He has a clan or a family and friends. And so I love Kung Fu Theater, and I would watch it every Saturday. You know that there were the two dials, and there was the one dial over here, and it would be like robots fighting dragons.
UHF and VHF.
Yeah, UHF, that's right. And so you'd see, you know, there'd be robots fighting dragons or Japanese cartoons or Kung Fu Theater. And it was one of the Kung Fu Theaters. I think I was in third grade. I was in third grade. And there was a documentary called The Fighting Black Kings. And it was on the first full contact martial arts tournament in Japan for the Kyokushinkai Kan. They invited fighters from all over the world to come to Tokyo to fight in the Tokyo Dome. And the first U.S. team, I think three of the four fighters were black guys. So the name of the documentary was The Fighting Black Kings. And I just was fascinated by this. And they were these strong guys doing these crazy jump kicks in the documentary, showing all these amazing feats of strength and daring. And I remember I went to my third grade teacher, and I was a horrible student. I had dyslexia, but I didn't know that till later in life. Mm-hmm. And so I was always being accused of being lazy or dumb. Mm. And I told my teacher that I was going to fight in this world tournament and represent my country. And she said, well, to do something like that, you have to start when you're young and you're too old. And I'm in third grade, by the way. Like, I don't know how old she thought I had to be to start. So my mother was a waitress and didn't have a lot of money. And I was always begging to take martial arts. But what I would do is, this is Catholic, forgive me, I would steal books. And I would go to the bookstore and I would steal martial arts books. I would walk from my home along a highway, miles and miles and miles.
Wow.
Is that a 9-year-old, 10-year-old with my brother? It'd take us like 3 hours to get there.
Wow.
And I would like steal a little book and I'd bring it home and I treated it like sacred text. Mm. And I would do the training. If you saw pictures of me in junior high, you'd laugh. I look like an Olympic athlete because I was doing the foolishness that I saw in Kung Fu Theater. Like, I'll hang from a tree for an hour, or I'll sit in a horse stance and punch, you know. But a couple of months here and a couple of months there, my mother would get me into a martial arts school. You know, it would be like at a dojo, a guy was teaching at the library. This Marine was teaching Wado Ru. Or I got to do judo at the YMCA. Then in seventh grade, I started being, we had a judo, a wrestling team, so I could wrestle. And so I was able to take, you know, Kempo here for a couple of months, but then my mother couldn't afford it or couldn't fit the drive into her schedule, or I would be doing judo at the Y. But meanwhile, all the time, year in and year out, I was reading these books.
Okay.
I did get to do karate for several months as a junior high kid, and ended up placing in the black belt division as an orange belt, second place for the state of Illinois. And so, but it was my passion, but I was really, just because of our economic situation, it wasn't something that I could really throw myself into.
Okay, but I wonder, over the years, did competing in a combat sport make you more likely to believe in God or less, and why?
Well, I would say that football was the sport that I really threw myself into in junior high and high school. And martial arts started with me in the Army when I got to do it seriously.
Okay.
I would say there's a sacramental nature of sports. And what I say about that is it's a secular sacrament, in that when you're competing, it's a sign in a little moment of your life how you're going to live the rest of your life. So, you know, when our coaches would say things that sound like foolishness as an adult, my coach would tell me in fifth grade, if you don't leave it all on the field in this game, you're not going to leave it all on the field for your family. You're not going to leave it all on the field for your business, or as a soldier, you'll not leave it all on the field for your country.
Wow.
But I think there's truth to that. I think there is truth to that. And so for me, what sports taught me was honesty and sincerity. You can't fake it. You can. For me, I was a horrible student. I would cheat every class to pass. I had friends, you know, one friend who's an English teacher now, she, you know, she did all my homework for like 3 years, and she would just hand it to me. So for me to turn it in, I could cheat. But, you know, when it came to sports, to me, there was a sincerity and an honesty that I brought in my desire to know, what is the nature and dignity of the human person? Where does it come from? Wow. Why was it wrong that my child was destroyed in the third trimester from the violence of abortion?
Wow.
Where does this transcendent moral order come from? Where does human dignity come from? I really wanted to know, and I would follow it to the wherever the truth took me. And the last place I wanted it to bring me, the last place, I was the Catholic Church.
But God had other plans. So when the audience hears me say that you still train at least 1 hour every day, they'll probably think, well, duh, Bruce, he wants to stay in shape. But you actually say that above and beyond that, staying mentally and spiritually strong is important. But how does that fit in with training at least 1 hour every day?
So 1 hour a day, it's part of my work day. I went from being 26 to 42 and not training at all. And a friend of mine, who is someone I respect, he has three Purple Hearts and fluent in several languages, and he's a real true warrior. He's a warrior in the truest sense of the word, not a gladiator, not a martial artist. He is a warrior, combat warrior. He said, Jason, you're not the guy I met that I became friends with. You're becoming a softer person. He said, you know, for the nature of your work, you need to be spirited. You need thumos, you need to be strong. And I went back to the gym, and I went to this Kyokushin dojo in LA. And here I was, a black belt, a guy that fought in the world tournament. But, you know, I was 240 pounds, been drinking a lot, had a lot of body pain and was sore all over. And an MMA fighter came from England to train these Kyokushin guys in MMA. And he had said to something, to somebody about me that got back to me that I was kind of a letdown, you know, to see me. Well, I hadn't trained since I was 26 really at all, because I threw myself into work. So it was the first time I darkened the dojo. But I'm so glad that happened, because I looked at the guy and I'm like, give me 8 weeks and I drop that guy. Forgive me. That's what I thought, you know? And so I went from like 240 to 208, like in 8 weeks.
Wow.
I went keto, started training. I hadn't trained since I was 26. And then it was what my buddy told me. He said, this is part of your vocation. You need to put an hour a day in your work schedule. Just don't eat lunch. So that's what I did. And it was very hard at first. I had a lot of body pain. So now as I get older, it's the strategy of I have a little pyramid where I say it goes health, mobility, conditioning, strength, you know, then stand up, boxing, Muay Thai. And I have a lot of really bad, serious injuries to my knee and my back. Jiu-jitsu is something that I really want. I'm still really working on rehabbing my back so I can start doing jiu-jitsu again, which is something I hadn't done since the mid 90s. And now, but I've been really throwing myself into boxing and Muay Thai. So to me, it is, it takes, another reason I love it is, you know, and I love this little small type of media because we're a tribe. We're guys who are Catholic guys, right?
Yeah.
This is like the locker room at your local Catholic high school, but now we're old dudes, but we love our sports, whatever our sports is, we love it. You might love golf. You might love tennis. You might love basketball. You might love powerlifting, but that's what we daydream about. I'm surfing boxing gloves. You know, my birthday's tomorrow. I'm like, I'm going to get myself some new Cleto Reyes, but maybe for you, it's a tennis clinic or whatever, but we love our faith. But our sports is something that is that little place that we have where we can be free, where we can play, we can be childlike. So that's why I like being here. But for me, it takes my mind off of my vocation, which is my organization exists to defend the vulnerable from violence. So my brain is always on genocide, democide, war, abortion, the stress of making a move.
Okay. Yeah. So that's quite a relief. It's quite a descent to come down from all that and say, let me just take care of this body that I was blessed with, but let me also just focus on training and keeping myself healthy and not continue to bog myself down with that because I'm going to throw myself back and do it later today anyways. So yeah, I get it. That's awesome.
If I have a 26-year-old athletic young man, 26-year-old athletic young man trying to punch me in the head, I'm not thinking about work.
Yeah.
And to me, it's like carrying a load and then I drop it. That's what it's like for me.
Yeah.
And I get to be around these young men and women that I admire. I can learn from them, their fortitude, their discipline. I see them getting better. I see their physiques changing. I see their technique improving. And I get to hear about their job working at FedEx or being a single dad in 22, trying to get his associate's degree. So it puts me around, puts me in a tribe that's not men my age, not people my faith, but they're people from my community, from all walks of life. But now we're a new tribe. This is our Catholics who love sports tribe.
Yep.
But all of us who are Catholics, when we go to whatever it is our sport is, we're bringing Jesus Christ into our tribe.
Yeah.
You know, my scapular, we'll be doing a drill, you know, and I'm holding pads for some guy and my scapular's flying up. He's seeing it. He's like, what's that? And, you know, then I can talk to him about it. And then it leads to a conversation about my faith.
Beautiful.
I think the tribal aspect of sports is a great opportunity to share the gospel too.
Plus that break that you take to do that, it re-energizes you so that you do have the enthusiasm going back into the important work that you're doing so that you can give that your all, just like you did with the sport that you just came out of for that little while that you were doing it, an hour or so. Listeners, I mentioned in the intro about Jason being a movie producer and the founder of Movie to Movement, but I love that in the case of the latter, he said to me, quote, "We make movies to advance the Catholic movement without telling people that's what it is," end quote. Before I have him go into that, though, each week in the middle of the show, I remind you that this is my ministry, but that I'm also just one person doing it, booking all the guests, doing all the writing, recording, and editing of the shows, doing all the promotion and administrative work, and so on. And you hear me saying that I don't have any sponsors, nor do I draw any kind of income from doing this. So unfortunately, all the expenses have to come out of my own pocket. I've also tried to be transparent in sharing with you many of the costs that come with operating Catholic Sports Radio. In fact, another new one just popped up. It was what might sound minor to some, $25 for a small task by the designer that I use, but all those do add up. I would be most grateful if you would consider supporting me and my Catholic Sports Radio ministry. There's an extremely convenient and secure way to do that, which is through the Donate to CSR button on CatholicSportsRadio.net. Alternatively, you can also just email me personally, Bruce@CatholicSportsRadio.net, and I will write you back with an address that you can mail a check to. You've heard me say on past episodes of people doing it that way. Either way, the help is greatly, greatly appreciated and does sure help me with the various costs that I have cited over, unfortunately, too many episodes of this show. And as I've pointed out before, you can contribute in whatever amount you are comfortable with. There are no predetermined amounts to choose from or even a minimum donation. You put in whatever you want when you use the Donate to CSR button on CatholicSportsRadio.net. And if you wish, I will even give you a public thank you on an upcoming episode of the show or on social media, or of course, as many have chosen to do, it can remain anonymous. Do please pray about it. No contribution is too big and no contribution is too small. It all helps with me being able to continue on with this ministry and give back with my time and talent in an effort to move more people closer to Christ. Jason, go ahead and share more with the audience about what Movie to Movement is.
Yeah, the mission of Movie to Movement, it's a program of a nonprofit I founded called HERO, the Human Rights Education Relief Organization. And our mission, we do one thing two ways. We protect the vulnerable from violence, and we do it by promoting the incomparable beauty of the human person and by inspiring the solidarity with the vulnerable. And then Movie to Movement, we make movies. We do all sorts of other projects through media. We also have the Vulnerable People Project, which in a more direct way runs influence campaigns to defend the vulnerable from violence, from the child in the womb to that Uyghur child in Chinese-occupied East Turkestan. Mm. And that is our mission. Our mission is to stand with the most vulnerable people in the world at the most vulnerable moments of their life and to advance their interests. Movies is what we're known for. We've had some success at films, but that's really just the tip of the iceberg. Most of what we do is really under the water.
Hmm. Okay. Well, speaking of sports and faith, I believe you have a project that involves the veteran NFL tight end Benjamin Watson, most recently of the New England Patriots. Are you at liberty to share some details of that project?
Or the movie's out. Yeah. Out. So if you go to salemnow.com or movie2movement.com, and you can watch the film there. It's streaming on Salem Now pay-per-view for the next couple of weeks, so go now. And it's a powerful documentary that really is only Benjamin Watson could have. He's the executive producer, and it's Benjamin on this journey to really discover what's at the heart of the disunity in our country. And what's at the heart of our disunity is our failure to live up to our founding principle, the great fissures caused by slavery, segregation, and now abortion. Those three great ideologies of evil denied the dignity of the person, denied our founding principle. And so Benjamin Watson interviews Senator Scott, he interviews Elvita King, he interviews so many of the leaders in our country today.
Wow.
Even people on the other side of the debate, including the two senators from New York that wrote the ghastly abortion bill that allows abortion up to birth and after birth.
Mm.
So it's beautifully shot. Chad Bonham, the director, did an amazing job. And Betsy Kennedy, my producing partner, and I, our whole team, we wanted to make sure that although it's a documentary, that it was beautiful. If you're going to make a film, it should be beautiful. If you see my other films like Bella, Crescendo, you know beauty is important to me.
I want to clarify one thing, because there's going to be people who are going to come to this episode just because they know you and they want to hear what you have to say. And I hope they'll go back and listen to lots of other episodes of Catholic Sports Radio. But there's going to be some people, as much as I'm always working on building the audience, somebody's going to hear this interview that you and I are doing right now in February of 2021. And they're going to say, oh, he said it's only going to be on that website for a few more weeks. Where are they going to be able to see it once that passes?
Movie2movement.com. If you just go to our website, all the ways to see that film will be there. And actually, After we're off Salem, we will be on Amazon, Netflix, Hulu. You'll find us.
Super.
We don't know what platforms yet, but we'll be at some of them.
And super.
You know, all of our movies are out on platforms. So,
okay.
And this film is, we just got it a great review, the highest review from Movie Guide. It's a film I'm very proud of.
Awesome.
It's a challenging time to distribute a film, but we were able to get it out there.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, in that Crisis Magazine article that I mentioned earlier, you had said that you had a statue of St. Maximilian Kolbe in your office. Why him? I'm curious.
St. Maximilian Kolbe is someone I discovered when I was not a Catholic.
Hmm.
And as I began to research revealed religion, because natural philosophy took me to a point that I could go not beyond, and my search for the sort of trying to understand human dignity. And I realized that what I see in a human person is best represented in revealed religion through the Jewish scriptures, through the New Testament, which I had not read yet, and maybe through the Quran. So the first thing I read was the Quran as a young atheist. And then I read the Jewish scriptures. But then when I read the New Testament, what really startled me was just this idea of God becoming man. In Isaiah 53, the idea of the suffering servant, of the second person of the Trinity, not only becoming man, but joining us in our sorrow and suffering, dying on a cross to give us life. That's what attracted me. And in the end, that's what really attracted me to Christianity. And so St. Maximilian Kolbe was someone I discovered before I was Catholic, that to me seemed to be the model of the type of person I wanted to be. I wanted to be somebody that would risk all and give all for the vulnerable. I feel like somebody who escaped circumstances because of no merit of my own. You know, when I was in the army as a young boy, 17 to 20, I had, I think, 5 Article 15s for fighting.
Wow.
You know, I was just a roughhouser. I was very bad in typical ways. I thought, I have been blessed. Instead of the problem of pain, I have the problem of a beautiful life. Like, I would wrestle with God, how come my siblings or this friend or this person has all this suffering? If you're out there, God, how come I have all these beautiful friends and all these great opportunities? And so I just, what I saw in Maximilian Kolbe was, okay, I want to be like him. No matter what comes my way, I'm going to walk towards the sorrow, walk towards the suffering, and try to share their burdens. I want to be like him.
Beautiful.
He's, you know, I don't know if our audience knows, he died in Auschwitz. In a way, he gave his life twice. So he's someone I look up to. And of course, he looked to Christ. So I would, Maximilian Kolbe, I think, gives us a model when facing modern totalitarian ideologies on what trying to be like Christ looks like.
Beautiful. Two final questions, Jason. All of our lives have had the cloud of the pandemic hanging over us for most of this year. And to really throw a curveball into everything, you just moved to Texas, I think from Hawaii. How have you been able to stay Christ-centered through all this upheaval?
I haven't. I mean, if I'm going to be honest, I think it's been hard on me. What was hardest on me was seeing elderly Catholics not getting the sacraments like last rites and confession and dying in hospitals. And I felt that the hierarchy was not assertive enough in making sure these people are getting their sacraments. It rocked my faith. And I shouldn't say it rocked my faith. It didn't. But I remember at one point on the Taylor Marshall show, I said, I think I was, it was in the midst of all of that in April. I said, if I didn't have kids, I don't think I'd ever darken the door of a church again.
Whoa.
That's how angry I was.
Wow.
So I would say that I've gone through what others have gone through, but this is normal stuff, right?
Yeah.
Think of being in the church in Germany and at the collapse of Weimar and how many bishops were standing up to Hitler. St. Maximilian Kolbe's an exception to the rule. One day it struck me, why do we know his name? Every priest should have acted like St. Maximilian Kolbe. Every lay Catholic man in Poland should have acted like St. Maximilian Kolbe, but they didn't. That's why we know his name. This is, you know, imagine being in Russia in 1917. Ideologies come and people get swept away. People we respect get swept away. So again, that's cling to the cross, run to the sorrow. And this is the Catholic moment. The Catholic moment isn't when there are huge conferences and bishops are there selling box sets of DVD box sets. The Catholic moment is when people are scattered, people are alone. Elderly Catholics who are pious and devout are dying without access to the sacraments.
Wow.
That's the Catholic moment.
Wow.
And this is that moment. And so if you're listening to this Catholic, that listens to the show, we're the ones that for whatever reason, the mystery of it all, have received this grace to stay faithful, to stay connected, to stay thoughtful. And then that's our job, is to share this with people.
Beautiful, beautiful. I just wanted to close with something that I thought was kind of neat, which was that back on episode 82 of this show, my guest was Boss Rutan, who is a UFC Hall of Famer. Yet when I mentioned that to you on the phone, Jason, instead of talking about Boss Rutan's great sporting career, you right away asked me if I knew about the story of his conversion to the Catholic faith. Share with the audience your connection to that story that Boss tells.
Well, yeah, you know, it's such a small world. I had asked you if he brought up Leo Severino. Leo Severino, who, by the way, is an athlete. He loves soccer. He's a soccer fanatic. So you should have him on. He's also the to me, I think apologists are like keys, you know, like Jesse Romero and Leo Severino are my two favorite apologists. And I don't know if you've ever had Jesse on.
No.
And he's a boxer himself. But, you know, I know that Leo's friends with his Going Deeper Bible study, I think, or really more of a philosophy class, I believe. I don't know if we call it a Bible study. Played a role in his reversion, maybe. But Boss Rutten is my number one hero. Like, he is the Ali of MMA. More than that, he is. It's not even that. I think he's the pioneer. He's like what Papa Bear Hallis is to the NFL. Mm-hmm. Boss Rutten is it. Like, he is a legend. And to see a strong man like that who's become this pious Catholic, I see all these people I looked up to growing up. You know, you got Boss. I saw, by the way, whose martial art is Kyokushin? Also Dolph Lundgren, who is, you know, is the blonde fighter that fought Rocky IV, is a Kyokushin guy, Kyokushin fighter. I think he fought in the world tournament before me. And I saw a picture of him with a scapular on.
Wow.
That warmed my heart. I always see Boss with his scapular on. And, you know, there's something about seeing men like Boss, athletes, that it's whatever grace, fortitude, tenacity that he had. I mean, to think of the sport in his day, it was a little different, you know. It was the athletes might not have been so highly fine-tuned as they are now.
Yeah.
But it was more rugged and brutal, and they were figuring it out and figuring each other out. And now it's sort of like they know the rules, they know the skill sets, and you can figure it out. In those days, it was a tough thing, and he was the toughest. And there he is, a man who humbly proclaims everywhere his love for Jesus Christ and how it's the Catholic Church that transmits the truth of Jesus Christ to the world. It's just such a Catholic moment. That's yep. The guy. Those are the guys. So, yeah, you got to have Leo on, too.
Yeah, and listeners, I'd be remiss if I didn't send you back to episode 82 to listen to Boss Rutten tell the story about hearing Severino talk, and now here we are, Jason, your business partners with him, so it's amazing.
He made the movie, we worked on Bella together and Crescendo. And
it's amazing how it all comes together. Jason, God bless you. Thank you for your time. It was really great having you on Catholic Sports Radio. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. Aloha.
Listeners, let's close with a prayer, as always. And since we have an athlete on this week, we will close with an athlete's prayer. So let's do this together in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear God, today is game day, and I place myself in your loving hands. Help me to be a good sport. I pray that I do not seek individual glory or accolades, but rather that I play for your glory and for the good of my team. I pray that all who play this game today are protected from physical harm. And my Lord, help me to accept the bad breaks as part of the game. I pray that I play to the best of my ability and to give honor to you by accepting my position and my place in the lineup. Loving God, I pray for those who watch from the stands that they too give glory to you by accepting without prejudice the rules and decisions of the game today. May their hearts be filled with joy and gladness that you have given them the ultimate gifts they watch this day, the players. Dear God, I pray for the coaches and referees that they too experience your loving guidance in the decisions they make, for those who work behind the scenes to make this day enjoyable, and for the founders and supporters. Finally, I pray to you, loving God, that you enjoy this game today and bestow on each of us wisdom and acceptance, no matter the outcome or the final score. With you in our hearts, we are all winners. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those. C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.